This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Former Republican State Representative Lawrence Wenke is running for Congress. Coming up, we'll talk with the Libertarian candidate in Southwest Michigan's 6th District. But first, Jim Hodzma has served for 8 years on the Calhoun County Commission. He is now the Democratic candidate for State House in the district that includes the cities of Battle Creek and Albion, as well as several townships in Calhoun County. Hodzma is running for the 62nd State House seat that's currently held by Republican John Bison. Jim Hodzma, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for the invitation to be here, Gordon.
Please introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us about yourself.
I'm the son of home and foreign missionaries. They're the best field organizers I've ever encountered in my life. I and Betsy have 4 children, a daughter who recently graduated from Albion College, and 2 kids in college, one at Ferris, one at Albion College, and one who is a junior at Lakeview High School in Battle Creek. I've practiced law for 32 years. I've practiced law with a regional labor firm for the past 29 plus years. I've been in the Battle Creek field office of that law firm since 1994. I'm involved in many not-for-profits like the Art Center, the Urban League, the Haven, which is our equivalent to Loaves and Fishes in Battle Creek, and am around the community in many not-for-profit roles. I've served on the Calhoun County Board, as you've indicated, for 8 years, and really enjoyed my opportunity to serve, learned a lot about local government by reason of that service, and determined after many people asked me throughout 2015 to consider this race, that I would run in this seat this year because of my concern of how Michigan isn't the Michigan I knew as a child or as a young man.
So what would you like to do if you are elected to the State House?
First, I would like to do no additional harm. That is to say, I am very concerned about one-party rule and how it hasn't worked in Michigan for 5 3/4 years. Presently, Governor Snyder, the House of Representatives, the State Senate, and the Michigan Supreme Court majority are solidly Republican. And as a consequence, I think we've had failed leadership in many ways, demonstrated by the Flint water crisis, the Detroit public schools miasma, the Grand Rapids Home for the Veterans fiasco. So I am first, trying to ensure that we have a circuit breaker, some kind of firewall, as it were, in the State House with a Democratic majority to ensure that we can stop some of that mischief which has gone on in the past 5 3/4 years and bring some other voices, voices that are relevant, not just perceived as irrelevant because we're in a constant minority, voices perceived as relevant to bring some compromise to some important public issues. I'd also like to make sure that Elliot Larson is extended to the LGBTQ community. I would additionally like to make sure that there is restoration of some tax credits, like the homestead tax credit or the per child tax credit, child care tax credit, and some tax relief for seniors in relation to some tax modification and providence of some tax credit for seniors as well.
So if you were to put those tax credits back in, the ones that you mentioned, child care, homestead, et cetera, would you want to get more tax revenue from somewhere else to make up for what the state would not be pulling in if those credits are again back on the table?
Yes, I think that there have been corporate loopholes which have evolved in this 5 3/4 years under one-party rule, which I would like to rein in and make sure that working families are paying less in proportion to large corporations and the wealthiest people in our taxpaying community who would pay a greater share vis-a-vis the working class and working people of our state.
The Michigan legislature is working on a rewrite of the state's energy policy. If you were there, and the assumption right now is it will probably be something that comes up in lame duck, so maybe done before the new legislature takes office. But if you were there and were considering an energy policy for Michigan, what would be the broad parameters that would have to be in place to get your vote?
I'd want to make sure that there's a greater emphasis on renewable energy by next decade, so we can prioritize a 20% target of renewable energy in relation to traditional energy sources like coal-burning sources. That would be an issue which would get my vote. Sam Singh, who's a House representative, has a bill pending presently. That's one of the hallmarks of that, and that's what I would be most looking for in relation to an energy bill, putting more emphasis on renewable energy while at the same time ensuring that by traditional energy we have assurance that our grid system isn't going to break down. So I want reliability considered, as well as the emphasis on targeting a 20% renewable.
There was a group, a couple different groups actually, which were trying to collect petition signatures to legalize marijuana, perhaps for recreational purposes in Michigan. That did not make the ballot. But if it were there, would you support it?
Public safety is the primary concern in this debate. I would wish input from all public safety agencies in relation to what they would consider would be the best for our communities. I would also want to have a legislative committee established to see how well or poorly legalization of recreational marijuana has fared in states like Colorado and the state of Washington. It's on many different states' ballots this cycle, and I think it will be interesting to see how many more people that kind of ballot initiative brings to the polling place in relation to Michigan, which uncharacteristically has no ballot proposals this cycle.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with Jim Hodzma. He is the Democratic candidate for State House in the 62nd District. That includes the cities of Battle Creek and Albion, as well as several townships in Calhoun County. Would you propose any reforms to the state's auto insurance laws?
No. I will tell you that in 2011, the Michigan legislature and then Governor Snyder signed remarkably draconian public act changes into the workers' disability compensation law, which has remarkably changed the relationship of employers vis-a-vis employees. It's very difficult for a workers' disability compensation claimant to collect workers' disability compensation benefits because of those changes. The grand bargain made in the 19-teens in relation to business and labor has been broken by that 2011 law. And I think that any change in the no-fault law would be an abandonment of the rights of consumers vis-a-vis large insurance companies in our community. We have an auto no-fault law that's intended to compensate victims of car crashes. And I think that it should remain intact and shouldn't be decimated in the same way that the workers' disability compensation law has been destroyed.
You know that the other side of that argument will be that Michigan has some of the highest rates for auto insurance in the nation. Is that just something that we live with in order to have this system, which does allow people to get lifetime care if they are injured in a catastrophic accident?
Nobody ever thinks he or she is going to be injured. And what happens in workers' disability compensation context or auto crash context is people complain about premiums that they pay. Employers complain about premiums that they pay and how they must reduce compensation by salary or wages to workers. But when the worker or the motorist is in fact injured, that's when it's needed most. So I absolutely am someone who wants to make sure that we providently safeguard those who are injured. Otherwise, the catastrophic injuries fall back on the taxpayers. Those people who are catastrophically injured become the ward of taxpayers, because they would undoubtedly fall to the Medicaid system.
So you're saying that what we're talking about here when people say that they want to reform the auto insurance system is we're shifting money around, is what it ultimately comes down to.
It's spreading the cost. It's trying to ensure that consumers are protected in a way that spreads cost most evenly around the most people. What ought to be done is there ought to be more investigation into how insurance companies are spending the premiums that individuals are paying those insurers, and less focus on how much premium is being paid, thinking about how no one is going to have some kind of car crash connected injury. There has to be an investigation in relation to why these premiums go up and whether they're actually being spent on injured motorists, or whether they're being spent on marketing of insurers, or being spent on litigation cost of the insurer's defense counsel.
The Michigan Campaign Finance Network compiled a list of the state house races which have seen the most money raised combined between the two candidates. The 62nd district ranked third. Should that make people in this district feel, glad that there's a lot of attention in this particular district, or should they be concerned about the amount of money on both sides?
The Democratic majority goes through the 62nd district. We don't take back the Democratic majority of the state house unless we win the 62nd district. It was a call to arms to me that I heeded when I determined to run late in 2015. This is a district which will be, as battleground states are often called, a battleground district. It's a district where both sides will spend a considerable amount of money. We're trying to equalize that which has been raised by one Michigan family, the DeVos family, which has spent tens of thousands of dollars on behalf of John Bison's race in two different cycles, and done it in a context in which they live more than 50 miles away and have no direct connectedness to Battle Creek, Albion, and the surrounding townships. So this should not be an alarm for the citizens of Calhoun County in relation to the numbers of dollars raised. I think they're going to get a lot of attention, but it should be an alarm in relation to campaign finance, because so much money can be raised by one family and rich individuals. The Republicans raised the individual donation from $500 to $1,000. Most of my donors can't meet that $1,000 threshold. Many donors of the Republican candidate can meet that. So I definitely think that people need to pay greater attention to what's going on in our legislature in relation to campaign finance reform in that context.
You've mentioned a couple times that you want to see the Democrats take the majority in the state house. I'm sure that there are a number of people who study maps and do political analysis who could certainly come up with a number of scenarios where you are elected to the state house, but the Democrats don't get enough seats to take control. So if that's the way this plays out, do you think you can still be an effective representative for the 62nd district?
Yes. I've done that for six of my 8 years on the county board. Our Calhoun County Commission since 2011, following the 2010 election, has been 5-2 Republican majority, and I've worked very well across the board. We have accomplished many things collaboratively. We, for example, ensured that the former Calhoun County Road Commission has been amalgamated into the Calhoun County's administration. Now as the Calhoun County Road Department, I think we've brought more roads, more improved, less money spent, more efficiently, and more transparency. So that's an example of what I could do in the state house by reason of my experience in county government. And I do think that experience in a lower species of government, like a county government or a city commission, is very important. Those skills are, I think, tantamount to being a successful legislator. I don't think you can well come from nowhere, like Al Kaline came to the Tigers in 1955 and perform. Al Kaline performed well, but there are other examples like Pete Incaviglia, who came up directly from no minor leagues to the Texas Rangers, I think, about 25 years ago, and didn't perform exceptionally well. And I think I could perform really well because I've had the experience of being on the county board times 8 years.
Jim Hosma, thank you for your time.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm a partner with WMUK, have been so for years. I'm in the 102.1 Club, and I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to participate today.
Jim Hosma is the Democratic candidate for State House in the 62nd District. That includes the cities of Battle Creek and Albion, as well as several townships in Calhoun County. Interviews with the other candidates in the 62nd State House District, Republican John Bison and Libertarian Michelle Gregory, can be found at WMUK.org.